Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Maureen Moakley is away this week. Filling in for her is Associated Press reporter David Klepper. Good morning, David.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And we're pleased to welcome our special guest, State Representative Deborah Ruggiero, a Jamestown Democrat. She also co-chairs the General Assembly's Joint Behavioral Health and Firearms Safety Task Force. Thanks for joining us, Deb.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here in Middletown, too. Jamestown and Middletown.
The legislature's Firearms Safety Task Force was created in response to the 2012 school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. So far, we haven't seen any significant changes in Rhode Island's gun laws. One big question is whether this will be the year when Rhode Island will start contributing mental health data to a national database used for gun background checks. What do you say, Deb?
Yes, we've been on a fast track with this task force, meeting twice a month since October, and you'll find the recommendations will be released probably in the next 2 weeks. So just to frame a little bit about what we've been doing, Rhode Island does not right now release current mental health records to NICS, the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. So the task force has been looking at why doesn't Rhode Island submit, what are the mental health laws? They were written in 1975. And we're looking at the person, not the weapon, as we balance public safety, gun ownership, and a person's right with respect to mental illness. So some of the findings and recommendations that we're considering, obviously you have to be adjudicated in a court of law. So this is with a judge. And right now the mental health competency hearings are held in district court. So they're the keeper of the records. So we have to think about, do we want them to disclose those records? We have to look at what is the determination too. That is dangerousness that a person may be to him or herself.
Scott, the New York Times did a detailed story a couple of weeks ago looking at a number of incidents in which mental health has been a factor in shootings. Do you see any reason why Rhode Island should not submit information to this federal database?
It makes no sense to most people why we don't. And we, in fact, had this very concrete example of what can happen last summer in Newport, where the Newport police found this naval contractor with what looked like pretty serious mental problems, reported it to the Navy. Somehow this fell through the cracks, and this fellow went down to Washington, of course, and killed 12 people at the Navy Yard. So we really, I think, we've seen all of this kind of shootings at college campuses. It seems like the country's off the moorings sometimes when it comes to our mental health laws vis-a-vis guns.
David, we know the gun lobby remains a powerful presence at the State House. Do you think the outlook is any brighter this year for changes in Rhode Island's gun laws?
Well, this nexus between mental health and the background checks, I think, is one area where there's a lot of common ground. And I would be very surprised if lawmakers don't act on some of these recommendations.
Right.
Now, you'll remember last year, the Senate president, the House speaker, the governor, the attorney general stood up and said, let's ban these semi-automatic, what they called assault weapons. That didn't pass. That didn't even get a vote. And I think in Rhode Island, where Democrats are so firmly in charge, where Angel Taveras, where Gina Raimondo both favor these things, and it doesn't pass, that shows you just how strong this gun lobby is.
Again, and you're right, at the end of the day, whether you're with the National Rifle Association or the Parent Teachers Association, no one wants anyone with mental illness to have access to a gun. So that's what we have to look at as we move forward. We also don't want unintended consequences of someone who has a mental health issue not seeking treatment.
The State Senate this week released a plan meant to improve the skills of Rhode Island's workforce. Senate leaders say this comes as a response to complaints that businesses can't find enough skilled workers. David, you were at the news conference where this report was released. What were your impressions on whether this is an effective plan?
I had two impressions. Well, first of all, the Senate president stood up this week and said we need to take decisive action. I'm frustrated by the inaction. This is a real problem. We can't wait. Sounded a lot like last year when we had a press conference where they said the economy is our number one priority. We can't wait. We got to take decisive action. That being said, this plan, I think, is in some ways a little bit more focused than last year. This is on workforce development. There's some real proposals that would put real money into real programs. It's less a discussion about task forces and studies and think tanks and more of a proposal of, we've got a waiting list of 1,300 people in line for adult education that want basic literacy, maybe I need some myself, classes. Let's put some money in. Let's get rid of that waiting list. Let's get these people having a better shot at getting a job.
Deborah Ruggiero, you're obviously a member of the House, not the Senate, but how would you assess the legislature's ability to try and improve the economy?
One of the things I heard last year, I'm on House Finance, as you know, so when we were doing the budget, we take $1.2 million that businesses put into the Jobs Development Fund, and they're putting it in for workforce training, but it's being scooped into the general fund. So that's one way. And I heard a lot from the business community that why are we paying into it if we're not doing workforce development? The skills gap is widening, and we need to have students understand the STEM program and how important it is to have computer technology.
STEM is science, technology. What's the E?
Engineering and math. And if you look at computer programmers, they're getting hired right out of school. We as a legislature could look at the $55 million that we get in federal and state dollars that's supposed to be used, and it is for workforce training and adult programs, but how are we allocating it? And it's all in the implementation. We don't need to throw more money at a problem. We just need to look at how we're handling it.
Scott, the Senate Minority Leader Dennis Algier, Republican of Westerly, said this is an action plan, not just another report that came out of the Senate. What do you think?
I think it's a bunch of PR. I think the problem in Rhode Island is the legislature has been asleep for years as far as investing in education. If you look at our neighbors in Connecticut and Massachusetts, they've done far more in both K through 12 and in higher ed. Now, that doesn't mean nothing's happening out there. If you talk to the folks at Electric Boat, you'll find that they have a very good partnership already with Community College of Rhode Island in training some of their people for jobs. We know there's going to be more jobs building these submarines. They're probably the best blue-collar jobs in the state. So some of this is already being done. $1.2 million, that's fine. But really, this is just PR. You're not going to get much for that.
Another week and more developments in the race for governor. We'll talk about three separate candidates. Democrat Clay Pell is expected to announce his campaign Tuesday. Scott, do you think he has what it takes to compete effectively with the two other Democrats, Angel Taveras and Gina Raimondo?
Well, he's 32 years old. We don't know really much about him. I think one thing he's going to have to do is be specific. He's going to have to come out with some policy proposals. So far, what we've heard from all the candidates, Raimondo, is a lot of platitudes, frankly. We're at a crossroads. We face big challenges. We need leadership. But not much in the way of specific proposals that Rhode Islanders really care about.
Deb, do you think Clay Pell has the experience to be governor?
I agree with what Scott has said. I think he's a very earnest man. Wondering who's the more ambitious one in the family, Michelle Kwan or Clay Pell?
What do you say, David?
Well, I think he's at a slight disadvantage in that Taveras and Raimondo have been at this for a long time. They have pretty robust campaigns. They've got a head start. And they've got a lot more experience talking to the public.
Let's stay with David Klepper here. Gina Raimondo said this week she's open to an agreement limiting the influence of outside third-party spending in the Democratic primary. How do you see the outlook for such an agreement, and what impact would it have?
I think the outlook is pretty good. I think it's very interesting that Gina is really pushing this because, of course, a lot of people thought she might be the one to benefit from super PAC money from Wall Street. However, she's got the fundraising lead. Maybe if she limits the ability of her opponents to raise super PAC money, she negates that advantage and keeps her fundraising advantage where it's at.
What do you say about that, Deb?
I say sign the People's Pledge to keep outside PAC dollars out of the Rhode Island gubernatorial race. Listen, if Scott Brown and Elizabeth Warren could do it in a high-profile U.S. Senate race in Mass, we can do it in Rhode Island. And I also believe somebody actually said, I'm not sure who, but donate half of what you'd spend in a gubernatorial campaign to Rhode Island charities. We'd have over $1 million, and look what that would do to our safety net and the economy.
Let's switch it up to talk about Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, one of the Republican candidates for governor. He's continuing to face some unflattering headlines coming out of the Cranston Police Department. How do you see the impact of that, Scott?
Well, here's the problem when you're a mayor versus Raimondo or Pell. Pell has no record at all. Raimondo has a pretty easy job. You don't have to do much every day as general treasurer. Mayors of places like Cranston and Providence, every day, if it snows, people are mad. The streets don't get cleaned up. The police department, there's a problem there. So this is going to be a challenge, and it's unique to the two mayors who are in this race.
Spot on. I would say that if you're a mayor, you are in the grassroots. You are in the trenches. It's a whole different animal, and it really shows the kind of leadership skills that you need to be in a higher office.
Last word to David.
We'll see where all this goes. We still don't really know what Fung knew when. I hate to go there, but we don't. And I think as long as we don't, this is going to continue to dog the campaign, and it's certainly not what he wants us to be talking about.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. David Klepper from the Associated Press.
Thank you very much.
Scott.
Thank you.
And State Representative Deborah Giro of Jamestown.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.